I prayed, you know, I just felt God laid that on my heart that it will be a year of accelerated prophetic fulfillment. Yes, I think we need to revisit the words that God gave us. You know what? Some of the words lie there on the dust, but I believe that God is working. You know, He said, my word will not return to me void. I think it's in Jeremiah 1:12. You know, he asked the prophet, what do you see? And the prophet said, Afrikaans, a mandeltak. What's that in the English? An olive branch. Almond branch. And then he said, you seen right because I'm awake. Ek is wakker om my woord in vervulling te bring. I'm awake to bring my word into fulfillment. And I believe, I just want to encourage you. I just want to stir some faith in your heart. It's the year of accelerated prophetic fulfillment. Let's run with it. Let's run with it. You know, when God works, it always turns out a little bit different than you and I thought is going to happen. Wie van julle dit al uitgevind? It happens differently. It happens. Don't trust what you think is going to happen. Trust Him. Because He will bring it into fulfillment. So, yeah, may you have a great year. May you grow in faith. May you grow in love. May you grow in your trust of Him. Yeah, and yeah, I just want to honor you, honor Kobus and Lorette. Hey, guys, may it be a great year. You know, when that pastor is coming back on duty again, you guys must be ready to run. Eh? So practice, get everything ready, you know. When I remember when I was still a jogger, you know, if you lay down a few days and you come back, you know, it's like there's more stamina, you know, there's more, you know, strength to run. So you must be ready. The man is coming back. So guys, kicking off the year 2024, God laid on my heart to, you know, to speak to you on the topic barefoot encounters. So before we go, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you that your word is alive. Thank you that there is power in your word. Thank you, God, that the things you say, it works life. It works victory. It works breakthrough in our lives. And not only in our lives, but also corporately for we as a body. And thank you, God, that you give us ears to hear what you're speaking. Thank you that you give us faith to do it, God. And thank you that you put a heart of love in our hearts to obey what you're speaking to us. And we speak that word that you release into fulfillment in the name of Jesus. You know, when we read in Exodus 3, there was a day in the desert, Moses was looking after the sheep of his father-in-law. His father-in-law's name was Jethro. And there was a day that Moses was sitting there in the desert. He was tending the sheep. And I think he was, you know, he was contemplating what happened 40 years ago in his life. Because 40 years ago, Moses was like the prince of Egypt. Who watched the movie? You know what I'm talking about. He was the prince of Egypt. He was highly educated. He was highly privileged. You know what? He was living in the palace. You know, slaves and servants were at his disposal. Money and resources were no problem. You know, he was living the high life. He was living the life that, you know, I think so many of us, we dream about. You know, if you want to talk about the royal family, just talk to my wife. You know, she knows what's going on there. She will tell you what is the royal life. You know, Moses couldn't ask for a better life. And you can go and read the story of Moses, Exodus 1, Exodus 2, Exodus 3, you know, where he came from. And how it happened that, that he ended up in the palace and grew up in this privileged life. But there was a passion that was burning in his heart. A passion that God put into his heart. And I know that everyone that is sitting here, God put a passion in your heart. It's not there by accident. You know, I remember when I was still, you know, living in Worcester in the ministry, and there was a business conference coming up, and we needed to go to Malaysia for this business conference. And I spoke to a few guys, you know, and I remember this farmer, you know, I spoke to him, and he said, "Ach man, didn't plow me." You know what? When God puts something in your heart, he didn't plow you. It's there. You can't get rid of it. You know, and you know, and it will, what's the right word for plow? It will bother you until you say yes. Until you do something about it. You know, if God lay in your heart homeless people, if God lay in your heart the kids, if God lay in your heart Bible school, if he lays on your heart counseling, you know, it will bother you until you do something about it. So Moses had this passion. God laid this passion in his heart. And the passion that God put in his heart was a passion to free his people from slavery. You know what? He was there in the palace. He had the privilege of being raised by a God-fearing woman, his mother. God has this amazing ability to intervene on strategic moments. Because when the princess found him, you know, in the river, and she said, "Where can I get somebody to raise him for him, for me?" You know, his sister was there, and she said, "I know just the right person." God connects people. The reason that you are here in this church is by divine appointment. Thank you very much, sister. Let me repeat it. The reason you are part of this church is by divine appointment. God wanted you to be part of this family. And God wanted you to be imparted by the leaders that he put here. Are you still with me? So don't just take it, you know, for chance. God works with a divine plan. He works with a divine plan. So Moses had this passion in his heart, and as he was growing older, this thing just became stronger and stronger. And one day, as he was walking around, you know, and just observing what the slaves were doing, you know, and there was this, what's this guy? This slave master, you know. And I think the slaves wasn't working hard enough. Maybe not. You know, if you were in the army and you had a corporal over you, you know, it doesn't care how much and how fast you run, it will never be acceptable. But anyway, okay, that's a talk for another day. But this slave master was whipping this Hebrew man. And Moses stood up for this guy. But you know, something went wrong there. I don't know exactly what went wrong, but something went wrong. And at the end of the day, this slave master was dead. You know, by the hands of Moses. And Moses, I don't, you know, you can go and read the story, but you know, he tried to hide it. You go and read the story. And a few days later, he was out again, you know, because this passion was drawing him to go to the place, you know, where his heart, you know, where God spoke to him. And there was two Hebrew slaves, two of his own people, you know, they were quarreling. And Moses thought, you know, he can play, you know, a peacekeeper. And he went to them, you know, and he started to speak to them. And the one guy said, "Are you going to kill us as well?" which he thought happened in the dark, was now in the light. And he knew he had to flee. He knew he had to run. So guys, let me just say it here. A guy with the name of Watchman Nee, who ever heard of Watchman Nee? Just, okay, fantastic. Watchman Nee said, God never uses Satan's principles or Satan's methods to establish his will. If you don't have money, it's not God's will for you to rob the bank. Or to cheat on your taxes. Hello? Are you still? Suddenly, the laugh is gone. But you understand what I'm saying? Okay? You cannot establish God's will using Satan's principles or Satan's methods. God is not into Satan's stuff. Now, God gave us the kingdom. And if we want to establish the kingdom, we need to run with kingdom principles. And we need to do kingdom principles. So if you need money, start to sow. Hello? You want more love? Sow more love. You know what? You're still with me. That's kingdom principles. Jesus said, whatever you sow, you will also reap. You know? Let me just say that, you know. So it's the law, it's the law that God gave of sowing and reaping, you know. Especially when you give to the poor. Especially when you give to those who don't have. God says, if you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord. I think that's in the book of Proverbs. So let's run on the kingdom. So Moses, you know, I think he acted in the flesh. So you know, I wrote here a lot of stuff that, you know, that we know it's not God's plan. It's not God's method. It's not God's principle. But you know what? Somehow, you know, we get involved in these things, you know, stealing, cheating, gossiping, treating people like ground, character assassination. You know, it's not God's plan. So, moving back to Moses sitting in the desert 40 years on, you know, I think Moses was sitting there, and I think he was talking to God. He was praying, and I believe he said, like, God, give me a second chance. You know what I'm talking about. You blew it. You know, you blew it badly. You knew, you know, you really, really missed it. And now the regret comes in and the remorse comes in. And you say, God, give me a second chance. And God is into second chances. We say, praise God. You know, he's into second chances, you know, third chances, fifth chances. But he is a God of grace. You know, I believe he prayed, God, give me a second chance to do it your way. You know, so he was working, you know, through this remorse and regret, you know, trusting God to give him a second chance. And as he was praying, as he was contemplating, you know, he saw this bush that was on fire. But this is not a strange phenomenon in desert. You can go and YouTube it, you know. You know, because it's so dry, you know, the material are so highly flammable and ignitable. You know, I believe he saw many bushes, you know, that light up, you know, burn, and within a few minutes, you know, it's over. Because, you know, all the material in a desert is so highly flammable. So he saw this bush burning, and he went to tend his sheep, you know, maybe put oil on some of their heads, you know, just see if, you know, if they are insect free and, you know, all the stuff that they can pick up in the desert. And as he was walking, you know, towards the sheep, his eye was on this bush that was burning, because this bush burn and it doesn't burn out. And he was there with the sheep, and he saw this bush burning. And then he walked over to this bush, because this bush caught his attention. Why isn't this bush not burning out? It's like you packing wood for the fire, for the braai on a Saturday evening or after church, you know what? And you know, and you look, you see the fire, you see the flames, but the wood doesn't become black. The wood doesn't burn out. So this bush was intact. The trees was intact. It didn't burn out. And Moses, you know, God caught his attention. You know, Moses, curious and cautious, walked closer. I want to tell you today, God knows how to get your attention. I remember many moons ago, my wife and I had to pray about taking over a church. It was in Worcester. You know, we booked a day off. And we went to a certain place where we know there would be no disturbances. You know, we won't be disturbed. We went there, you know, we prayed, we opened our Bibles, you know, we read where we believed the Spirit of God was leading us. And then we prayed again and then reading again. And I remember God doing something in my heart. You know, but God hasn't spoke to the lady yet. He hasn't spoke to the help meet yet. I'm talking to the husbands. If you want to move, you better be in covenant with your help meet. Because God is a God of covenant. You know, I've seen so many guys, you know, they venture on a business thing and then they came back to me when it falls flat. I said, what did your wife say? Pastor, don't ask me that question. Because he thought she knows nothing about business. I can tell you, a woman can smell a rat on 1,000 miles. Yes, you're almost going to my amen. You know what? So God hasn't spoke to the lady yet. And then the next moment she said, wow, God gave me this scripture, you know. And I was like, okay, this is going to be clear-cut scripture, you know. It's gonna nail it, the yay or the nay. And this scripture, you know, it was about a woman, you know, and picking up this child. The woman had to pick up this child and put this child on her lap. And my wife was, this is it. Because she loves children. She's passionate about children. And you know, God used that scripture, you know, to say, but pick up this child. This child was, you know, like the church, and put this child on your lap. And we know this is what God wanted us to do. Are you still with me? God knows how to get your attention. And so suddenly God called Moses by his name. So he is walking to this bush. This bush is burning. You know, it's like the flames are burning on top of the branches. You know, just to put it that way. And as he was standing before this bush, God was calling him by name. Are you still with me? He said, Stephen. He said, James. You know, he called him by name. He said, Isaac. Are you guys still with me? God knows your name. And your name has meaning. Are you still with me? Okay. But let's go on. Yeah, because your name has meaning. And when God speaks our name, there is a prophetic destiny that he has with us. You know, Isaac was the miracle boy. Isaac was the miracle boy, you know. And Abram and Sarah had to wait so long for Isaac to happen, you know. Isaac could only happen by a divine intervention, by the Spirit of God. Because both of them were old. So there's, you know, God there's a meaning of your name. And when God calls your name, there's meaning into it. So God told Moses, he said, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. You know, and I believe, you know, this morning we are at a place like that. We are at the start of 2024. And I believe, you know, we want to make the best of this year. I don't think there's anybody here that says, I want this year to be, you know, to make it a failure. No. We want to do it our best. We want to succeed in our marriages. You know, we want to grow strong in our marriages. We want to grow strong in our relationships, you know. If you got money invested somewhere, you want that money to grow. You don't put money in an investment to become less. We want to go forward, you know. So at the beginning, you know, of this year, you know, it's like God is speaking to us. And God said to him, take off your sandals, for the ground you're standing on is, you're standing on holy ground. That word holy. And thank you, Nicole, for that song. Man, I love that song. Holy, holy, holy are you. And, you know, holy ground is a place of separation. It is a place to be separated unto God. That's what the word holy means. Holy, let me read it to you, means separated for the sole and unique purpose and use of God. God wanted to use Moses. You know, 40 years ago, Moses thought he can do it in his own strength and in his own flesh. He had a plan, but he messed up and he had to flee. And now, 40 years later, it was actually God's time. God was ready to move, and now he had to get Moses on board. And I want to tell you, God is ready to move in 24. He needs to get us on board. So God spoke to Moses. Holy ground is saying yes to God's calling. It's saying yes to God's will, and it's saying yes to God's purpose for my life. To take off your shoes is to get rid of anything that separates you from the holy ground you're standing on. And I want to ask you this morning, what separates you from the holy ground that God has for us? The holy ground of his will. The holy ground of his calling. The holy ground of his purpose. What separates us? And can I ask you this morning, you know, or just suggest, maybe it's fear and uncertainty. You know, sometimes our problem is control. Hello? You know what I'm talking about? We want to control the outcome. You know, it must be like we want it to happen. And if we trust in God, believe me, it turns out differently. You know, is you know, the shoes that we need to get rid of, is it maybe disobedience? That God has been speaking to you and you haven't obeyed him. You're still waiting. You're waiting for something to happen, but you haven't obeyed. Zane, ek is so bly jy laat doop. Man, obedience in die doop is so groot ding. You know, what you waiting for? You know, maybe you need to get rid of you know, that shoes of lukewarmness. Or maybe, you know, you've just fell in a place of, I don't care anymore, you know. We become complacent. You know, we become unconcerned. You know? And God is speaking to us. He said, I want you to get rid of those shoes. You know, maybe if it Afrikaans say, ons raak traak my die agtig. You know, gee nie meer om nie. Maybe it's just selfishness. You know, and miskien dink ons, ach, ek kan dit beter as ander doen. I can do it better than others. And God says, I need you to get rid of those shoes so that you can stand with your bare foot on the holy ground of His calling and His will and His purpose, so that we can live kingdom life. Barefoot living is giving your complete and unqualified yes to Him. And He's saying over and over again, here I am, have your way in me. God, here I am. You know what? The potter works best with soft clay. It's saying, God, here I am, have your way in me. That's His heart. Barefoot living is to stand face to face before the living God, getting rid of the shoes of separation to follow Him wholly with everything you have, and wholeheartedly embracing the calling, the will, and the purpose that He has planned beforehand for you. Man, God is not caught off guard. Sometimes, you know, things have a way of, you know, it's like, you know, they run into a crisis, you know, it's like everything going wrong, and you think, God, are you still in control? Trust me, He still is. You know, when things look so out of control, God is still in church. Saying yes it is saying yes for the life He has planned before you, before the beginning of the world. He already sorted you out. He knew what your name is going to be. He knew that you're going to be a man or a woman. You know, He knows where He wanted to use you. And, you know, barefoot living is to say yes for that. Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, it's coming. Is it coming? There it is. In the New Living Translation, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. Oh, my word. God says, you're my masterpiece. Do you know? You're my masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago, before the foundation of the world. So it's like God is waiting for us. You know, He says, come on, man, come on. I've got this plan for your life. You know, let's go. Let's see it happen. God's plan for you is already worked out. And holy ground encounters is to persuade you to give your yes to Him. Say, oh, yeah, He said, God, I want to be part of what you are doing. God, I'm giving my yes for the biggest adventure you could ever dreamed of. Man, and that was it an adventure for Moses? I think it was a great, great, great adventure. You know, God used him, you know. It's like Ephesians 3:20. He says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could pray or think, according to the power that works within you. Man, God did amazing things through Moses' life. You know, he was contemplating, you know, his failure, but God wanted to use him in an extraordinary way. And in this conversation that Moses and God had, you know, at the moment, you know, Moses got the guts together. He said, God, but if I go to your people and they ask me about your name, what must I tell them? What is your name? And God gave his name. And he said, I am that I am. I don't know about you. I struggled my whole life to understand what his name means. But let me give you just a glimpse of it. God said, tell them, Moses. Okay, you can throw that slide. Tell them, Moses, that I will be everything that they will ever need to do my will, to live out my calling, and to fulfill my purpose for which I planned them beforehand. God is saying to Moses, Moses, I will be everything. Moses, you won't lack anything. I will give you everything that you need on this journey. You know, when you're leading the people through the desert, you know what? I will give them manna. You know what? I will give them quails. You know, I will even give them water that gushes out of the rock. Moses, I will be everything. And guys, and ladies, when God speaks to you, He has already worked in you everything you needed to obey Him. If He says, talk to this person, you must know somewhere inside you, He already worked what you must say to that person. Are you still with me? If He says, man, give this much to this person, you know, He is the one that will provide for you. You know, if He say, man, you know, give this much to this church, say, thank you, God, for your church. I'm willing to give it. Are you still with me? Tell them, Moses, His name, I am that I am. It means you will lack nothing. God told Moses, I will be everything that you need. And you know what? Moses went to the Pharaoh. You know the story. He went to speak to the Pharaoh. And then, you know, the Pharaoh said, you guys are lazy. You know, the Hebrews are lazy. I'm going to increase their workload. And so all the Hebrew people, they were cross with Moses. They said, Moses, you come here to make our lives miserable. But that was part of God's plan. You know what? So God sent it 10 plagues. You know, God, it was like saying to Moses, Moses, I will part the Red Sea, you know, and the Red Sea will become the graveyard for the Egyptian army. God was working, you know. It was like Moses, you know, he will heat the rock and the water will gush out. And His name, God is saying, you know, if you go to the compound names of the Lord, He says, Moses, I will sanctify you. And that word means, I will make you like Jesus. And we're so afraid of that word, holy, you know. It just means, make us like Jesus. Work His life in us. He says, you know, I will sanctify you. I will be your righteousness. I will guide you, the Lord my shepherd. I will be with you. I will heal you. I will be your victory. The Lord, our banner. I will give you peace. The Lord, our peace. And He said to Abraham, I will provide the lamb. I am the Lord that provides. By revealing His name unto Moses, God was telling him, Moses, I've got your back. Or how does the American say? They say, I've got all your bases covered. And guys, that's the one thing we must find, our peace, that God's having our back. He's got our back. That He's got all our bases covered. I don't know what your challenge is this year. I don't know what you are stressing about. I don't know what you're worrying about. But God says, I've got your bases covered. Trust me. Just come closer. You know, just come closer. It's like the answer to anything is just come closer to Jesus. You know, just press in with Him. He will give you wisdom. He will guide you. His hand will be upon you. Moses, you will lack nothing when you are doing His will. And I want to encourage you. If you do His will, if you obey His call, and when you live kingdom, He will give you everything that you need. Maybe not in the way you think, you know, He's going to do it. But He will give you everything. The first missionary to China, his name was Hudson Taylor. He made a great, great sacrifice. You know, when he greeted his mom the day, you know, he got onto the the ship. He knew this is the last time. You know, and missionaries, they paid a heavy price. You know, some of them had four or five wives because out there, you know, it was jungle. And people were killed because of diseases, you know. So many of them lost so many children. But Hudson Taylor, he obeyed. He left. He knew he's not going to see his mother ever again in his life. And he said yes. He said yes to the call. You know, he said yes because this was a passion that was burning in his heart. It was bothering him. And you know, the only way he could took this away was saying yes, was to be obedient. And Hudson Taylor, he said, God's man, can we include the woman here? Donkey. God's man, God's woman, in God's place, doing God's will in God's way, will never lack God's support. Amen. Amen.